Hi, and welcome to the Interviews with the Masters brought to you by theoutdoorinsiders.com, your number one spot for inside information and quality gear. Today we have on the phone with us Adam Balestro. He's an avid bow hunter, fitness and wellness just fanatic, and he is the owner, co-founder of Healthy Hunters. Adam was born in a small farm town in New York, upstate New York, where he, you know, been hunting since he was like 4 years old. And it's kind of one of the reasons why I have Adam on here is, one, we share a commonality, both from New York and both started around the age of four. But the other reason why is because he's into fitness and this whole wellness with hunting. And it's something you don't really see that much on the East Coast and so much with whitetail hunters as you see with Western hunters. It's kind of been more of a growing trend because of the physicality of hunting out West. But I like that Adam has brought this and adapted this into the whitetail woods as well. Adam, how you doing?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
Good, man. It's a Monday, and it was one of those days. My normal job gave me a little bit of a headache today, but other than that, life's good. The family's good. You know, it's hunting season. Can't complain.
No, definitely not.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Well, like you already mentioned, I grew up in a small farm town up here in upstate New York. Basically started hunting, walking around the woods when I was really young. You know, my dad got me started right away. When I actually got to the point where it was legal for me to hunt, I had already amassed a lot of knowledge about whitetails just from following him. I was just as hardcore as any, you know, legal hunter at the time, even when I was younger. Just I was absolutely obsessed with it. And since I started legally hunting, that's been my primary focus in everything that I do. I mean, even coming down to my day job selection, making sure that the benefits and the vacation time all kind of suited my needs for hunting. Everything revolves around that. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that can relate to that.
Absolutely.
But yeah, you know, so basically just grew up doing that, you know, went to high school, did some college, and I didn't really get into the health and fitness side of things, you know, right away. That wasn't until maybe 5 or 6 years ago when I started taking that seriously. And it's just, at this point in time, it's become something of a lifestyle where I've incorporated, you know, the health and fitness into the actual hunting aspect of everything that I do as well. And honestly, there's no turning back. It's one of the better decisions that I've made. And that's, you know, that's the purpose of Healthy Hunters and what I'm trying to do there.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about Healthy Hunters. What is it exactly?
Well, Healthy Hunters is a team that I started 3 years ago. It was a side project at the time, and the main thing I was working on kind of fell under. I decided to start working with that, and you know, it ended up really working out for the best. I put a small team together of some family and people that I know that are really big into hunting and fitness, and we basically decided, okay, let's do something with this. You know, the point is first is that I should share my vision a little bit in that you mentioned on the East Coast it's not that popular, and you know, for the most part that's because, you know, we're not hunting at 5,000-6,000 feet. You know, mm-hmm. Although we have mountains that go that high, we don't hunt that high. So, you know, there's not as much of a motivation there to be in as physical a shape, but it's about the overall message. Of the lifestyle that kind of surrounds it, you know, and it's something where I'm looking at both markets. I'm looking at the hunting industry, which is, you know, relatively small compared to anything else, and then you also have the fitness industry, which is huge. What I'm really trying to focus on, it's not necessarily about making sure that you can climb, you know, 7,000 feet in such amount of time or be physically fit enough to do that, as much as the physical fitness is important. It's the overall health aspect, and, you know, I'm thinking to myself, everybody right now is on this push to eat clean, and there's this whole organic movement going on, and I said, why not, you know, we're in the position, to actually go out and choose and know exactly where the food that we're eating is coming from. You know, we actually get to go out there and put the work in. So you're, it's like a circle. You know, the stuff you do in the gym with the fitness and the health is matched by going out and hunting and using what you've done for yourself in terms of physical fitness and health to go out there and participate in hunting in a healthy way, but also getting the meat and bringing that back home and putting food on the table that you know is 100% clean for the most part. You know, you're bringing that stuff home. It's packed in nutrition, and you also have the feeling of accomplishment knowing that you went out there, you got that meat, and you're responsible for putting that on the table. So there's a whole push with that. I mean, it's industry wide right now, right? So it's kind of on the East Coast. There's an open market for it, you know. So that's kind of the idea is to push that vision and to both markets and try to maybe recruit people in the fitness side of things who haven't necessarily maybe thought about hunting or have never thought about hunting, but to basically introduce the idea to them and say, hey, listen, you know, this is what we do. What do you guys think? Or to go to the people who do hunt but not necessarily think a lot about fitness and health and be like, hey, you're already bringing home clean, healthy food. You know, why not make a focus on that and give it a try and see how you feel afterwards, you know?
Right.
So that's kind of the whole push. I mean, we also have a blog that we actively run. The other aspect is going to be our Hunt Fit video series. And our main priority right now is you have markets in the industry. You have businesses in the industry right now like Mountain Ops and Wilderness Athlete, and they're all focused on, you know, for the most part, the supplementation to what you're already doing. Whereas we want to focus on the actual apparel. So we're focused on selling fitness apparel to people who are actually in the industry, you know, and we're designing this stuff around the idea that you can wear it at the gym. You can wear it, you know, when you go hunting as a base layer. It's going to have like a kind of a universal application for those things. That's the gist of it.
Cool. Yeah, that's innovative, and I applaud you for it. You know, it's funny because I'm definitely not going to say that I started the hunting fit movement, but 10 plus years ago, 12 years ago, I started Hunt Fit.
Okay.
And I was primarily a whitetail hunter because that was the super sexy thing to do. I was a Western game hunter because I've lived out here in Arizona now since 1990. So I've been here most of my life. And I've been hunting Western game, but I hunted a lot of whitetail. I did a lot of Midwest hunts. I go back to New York every year actually to hunt. So I did a lot of tree stand hunting, but I also saw this correlation of being fit and hunting, even for tree stand hunting and stuff like that, like being able, having more control of my body and putting myself into, you know, obscure positions and stuff like that to make shots. I found that when I had a strong core and all this other stuff, that was easier and I was more successful. And it's just cool to kind of see this come to fruition. Like I said, I had this Hunt Fit blog. It was literally called Hunt Fit. It's funny that you said the Hunt Fit videos. it's still there. It's still up. It's still running. We do have a section on the Hunting Channel Online, the Hunt Fit section, where we design sports-specific, workouts and so and such for hunters of all different walks of life. So. While we're talking about sports-specific training, how important is sports-specific training in your opinion?
I'll say that I don't think it's as important as getting the overall workout in. Without having that foundation in place, it's kind of, in my opinion, it's a bad idea to build a house on a bad foundation, right? So you still want to be doing overall. You really want to have your focus on getting the overall workout in. But once you've got that, you know, once you're in a position to focus on a specific thing, let's say, you know, you hunt in the East in upstate New York, it's very mountainous. you know, the deer up here can go 200 plus pounds. So you know that the majority of where you're going to need that is when you're hauling that deer out of the woods, when you're quartering it out or carrying it out, or, you know, whether or not if you're along, if you hunt up in the big woods and you have to walk 6 miles to get to your spot, you know, you want to focus on endurance there. So it kind of really comes down to each individual person. But in my opinion, I think it is important. You know, there are things that you can do to increase those specific parts of your body, or, you know, whether or not it's either endurance that you want to work on, or getting stronger in certain muscle areas. Those are all important things. You know, one thing that I always noticed, you know, before I really started getting to health and fitness was, you know, going out and hunting out of a tree stand is not necessarily require you to be in the best physical shape, but when you are in good shape, you do notice the difference. You do notice the fact that you're able to sit on stand for 10 or 12 hours and be a lot more comfortable, or, you know, walking out to the stand, you're so used to doing endurance training that you're not sweating like a sieve getting out there and putting your scent all over the place. Or even more importantly, when it comes to dragging the deer out of the woods. And, you know, there were times when, God, you know, I'd have to drag a deer 10, 15, 20 yards and stop and rest and get up and drag it again. And the entire time I'm thinking, man, I got to get in shape. You know, and I think anybody who's in that position is probably having that same thought. You know, once it's done and over with, it loses its importance and you forget about it. So in my opinion, you know, working on specific, targeting specific areas of your body, or having specific goals for the type of hunting that you do, I do believe is important. And I think that if you incorporate that into your overall regimen, that, you know, you can definitely, you'll definitely see the results.
Cool. Absolutely. I mean, I'm a big proponent of it. It's actually what my first degree in college is. I got a degree in corporate fitness and wellness, and then I went on to be a physical therapist. I went back to school and got my my degree in rangeland management and ecology. But I really feel that if you train to the game, so to speak, and that you know, your practice sessions, the types of workouts you do should always be geared to what it is that you're going to encounter in the field. So. So I'm sure there's going to be a couple guys out there that, you know, especially like you said, we're breaking into you're breaking into a market that's not really in this area of fitness and hunting hasn't really hit home yet. What are some of the things that guy can do or I can do to ease into a fitness program, you know, geared towards hunting?
Well, there's a few things you can do. I mean, the first thing I'd recommend is, you know, do your research. If you're going to get advice from somebody, make sure that you're getting advice from somebody who is either accredited or has enough experience that, you know that you're going to be getting safe advice from them. It's really one of these things where you have to, like you said, you have to have that foundation built, but you also at that point in time can actually start saying, okay, how do I want to structure my workout in order to meet the goals that I am giving myself or to meet the expectations that I have for the work that I'm going to be putting into this. And in my opinion, it's really just making sure that you get out there, you do your research, and you start out slow. You know, when you go to the gym, it's not about, you know, being the biggest guy in there. It's not about being the most in-shape person or girl, you know, and it's one of these things where formulate a plan, whether you come up with that through self-research or through the help of a trainer or another someone who's certified in those things, put together a plan, an easy plan to get yourself started. Get in the gym and just start doing it. And you'll come to the realization the more you work out, the more research you do, you're going to learn more, you're going to change things as you go. But it's really it's one of these things where when you start, you're gonna feel it more, in my opinion, than, you know, 3, 4, or 5 months into it. You're really going to feel those workouts right off the bat. You're going to be sore every single day. It's going to hurt. But that's the point, right? Is, you know, you're making a change, that your body's growing, that your body is changing. And that would be my advice there, would just really do your research, put together a plan, focus on finding what workouts are going to target the specific areas that you're looking to improve. If you're a compound bow hunter, you want to be focused on your back, your shoulders, your core. You know, and the thing is that everything helps everything else when it comes to working out. So if you're doing those things, you're not focusing on legs, you're really doing yourself a disservice. And you would know, John, what I'm talking about there is, you know, other muscles benefit from working out other muscles, basically.
Of course.
And so, you know, having that targeted routine and also having that overall routine, getting something in place and just going and doing it. Getting that first step is the hardest part. My advice would be that when you decide that you want to do this, you have to just do it, and you have to commit yourself to doing it. And the best way to do that without reaching failure is to just set yourself very easy, small, and obtainable goals. You know, don't plan on going all out right away. Work yourself into it. Get into the gym. Plan on getting into the gym 1, 2, 3 days, however many days your schedule allows you without becoming stressful. And just work your way into it slow. And as you find more time, or as you get more into it, and you find that you want to spend more time in the gym, and, you know, it's an addictive thing. Going to the gym, working out, and feeling good is very addicting, that's for sure. So that I guess that would be my advice to get started.
Yeah. I'd say look at it as a holistic approach, too. Meaning,
right,
don't just start working out and pound a bag of potato chips every day also. You know, kind of come up. But, you know, ease into it, but make changes throughout the whole life. You know, the way you, instead of drinking soda, drink water, you know. Just make, like you said, achievable goals and add on to and build on to it. You know?
Right. And so that would be, I guess that would be my, you know, the one thing I left out there is that, you know, fitness only really accounts for a very small portion of your overall health. It feels like that's where you do the most work. But really the most important thing is the nutrition, you know, what it is that you're putting into your body and how you utilize the food that you do put in your body. And that's kind of why, you know, it leads back into this whole Healthy Hunters push, in that, you know, the focus is really on the nutrition and the fitness, because without either one complementing the other, it's kind of a pointless venture if you're looking for overall health. And you know, that would be my opinion as well, is when you're getting that plan built to, you know, for the gym, you really want to also be building up a nutrition plan as well. You want to be saying, okay, I've got a freezer full of venison, you know, I've got, you know, a garden with all these vegetables growing in it, or wherever you get your food from, you've got it, and then you need to figure out how to eat that food and how to get it into your body in a healthy way. And that's, you know, when you combine those two things, it's very powerful.
I'm going to have to disagree with you. You said that the most work is in the gym. I find that the hardest struggle is the diet. I think it's easy to go to the gym. You know, the hardest part is getting there. Once you get there, everything else feels pretty easy.
Yeah.
I can't eat clean to save my life. It's probably going to take that. It's probably going to take doctors say, hey, you need to stop eating this, or you stop eating that. I have such a hard time eating clean. Like, it's crazy.
It is.
I eat a lot of good food, but I also eat a lot of not so good food too. Like, I'm a foodie, and I love to eat. I love to eat pizza. I love to eat, like, you know, just good food all the way around. And
I mean, that's
good,
that's one of the hardest things.
And I tell you what, I struggle with that more than anything. This past year, I mean, it's ridiculous. I've been, like, binge eating.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't help that my wife was pregnant, and I sympathy ate. you know, you know, luckily I still went to the gym, so I managed to keep off most of the weight, but it's just,
I mean, it's hard, you know, when you like me, for example, I'm assuming you might have a similar situation, you know, as you grow up in a family such as mine, where, you know, basically my grandparents came over from Italy, and man, the food is amazing. You know, like you can't, when you go to an event, you know, those Italian grandmothers, they push food on you. Even if you're absolutely stuffed, they're going to put more in your mouth. And it's just, you know, that's how I grew up. And so those habits, definitely those were bad habits that were instilled for sure. And it is definitely a struggle, you know, to want to continue eating healthy, especially when you love food, you know, when you really are into the way things taste and whatnot. And so, you know, I think I struggled a lot in the very beginning. And there's still times where I'll find myself falling off, and that usually happens when my routine gets broken, you know, and what'll happen is I'll get real busy. I'll be traveling, you know, I'll be going here, going there. And that's really what I think is the biggest enemy, as far as I'm concerned, is time and stress, and you tend to prioritize. And if you're stressing out and you're out working hard and you don't have time to go home and cook up a venison steak or something like that, you know, you're thinking what's easy, what's quick, and what's cheap right now. And so I think it's easy to fall off on that and that aspect of it. And then, you know, at the same time, you know, the way that I try to get around that is I really spent a lot of time figuring out ways to cook healthy food healthy so that it tastes good. And that's not a necessarily easy thing to do when you're used to eating all those fats and carbs and sugars. But, you know, you get used to it, and the more you do it, the longer you do it, the easier it gets. You know, there's still,
for sure,
I still have my cheat days, and, you know, I'll go out and my grandmother's cooking pasta dinner, then I'm going over there and I'm having pasta dinner, you know. But it's the overall change, I think, is what's important.
Absolutely. Now you dabble in film a little bit too.
I do. Yes. I started doing that.
You just put out a little piece. You just put out a little, a few minute motivational piece. Recently.
That's right. I did. That right there is kind of the compilation of the amount of time that I put into it. That's definitely the best work that I've done, and, you know, looking at it, I know that I have a long way to go. But it's one of these things where I started bringing the camera into the woods with me, and we really last year we really took off with that. We got real serious. We went out and spent lots of time on the education, spent a lot of time on the equipment and money on the equipment, and we started working with some companies in the industry, helping them with their marketing and actually going out and doing their video work for them. And that kind of carried over into Healthy Hunter. So I have a passion for that I would say is just as strong as my health and fitness and hunting passion are. So it's something that I really want to incorporate into what we're doing, you know, is getting the film out there, getting the content out there, and saying, not, you know, I don't want to just be typing blogs and social media posts. I want people to actually see what it is that we're doing and kind of get maybe a better perspective through that with the videos and stuff like that we're going to be doing. So it's going to be, that's going to be a whole nother project in itself.
Cool. Look forward to see it.
I appreciate it.
Have you, I hadn't seen any, but have you put any actual, like, quote unquote hunting films out, or is it all still?
No. We haven't done anything for ourselves. Anything that I do have up for anything prior to this year is pretty amateur, and it's not anything that I have really necessarily shared publicly. But when we were working last year, all of our work was for other companies. It wasn't for ourselves. So we were going out and working with companies like Remington Scent Control and other places like that, and really, you know, focusing on them. We would build a video series for them specifically. So if we were in it, but the editing, you know, that entire production process was all on us. And as a team, you know, there were other people involved. But since we kind of went this way, that's all changed. You know, so now we're really just focusing on what it is that we're doing and trying to use those same ideas that we had working before to to what, and applying it to what we're doing now. It's something that I definitely love to do, and I don't go into the woods without a camera anymore. I mean, that's pretty much a guarantee.
Cool. Well, you know, what are some of the things that you do to prepare for your hunts? You know, curious to see, being a whitetail hunter primarily, give me one of your regimes, one of your workout plans or something.
Okay, so what I like to focus on leading up to the season for the most part is, I know the biggest struggle is going to be stamina and endurance, especially when it comes to dragging out a whitetail from the woods, right? Mm-hmm. So my focus, my routine then becomes more high intensity. I'll start focusing on high intensity cardio, long distance running, and really a focus on my core and my leg strength. I shoot my bow all the time. So my muscles in my back and my shoulder are pretty much set for my bow. And, you know, I don't necessarily need to build those up as much as I want to focus on my core and my legs. So I'll be doing a lot with that. You know, I'll be doing a lot of sled pulling and pushing. I'll be doing a lot of rows. And again, really high intensity stuff. Even when I'm lifting, you know, I'm not taking more than 30 to 45 second breaks max in between even my heavier sets. So, I mean, that's, the focus isn't like it used to be when I was in my young 20s. You know, I'm not looking to get huge. I'm just looking to get strong and use that strength over a period of time. So that whole routine is based around that, you know, so lots of squats, mm-hmm. lots of deadlifts, lots of the dragging, the pulling, uphill running. You know, I'll run, I do a lot of trail running in the mountains. That really, really gives you a lot of variety.
Right.
When you're trying to get all that stuff down rather than just running on a treadmill. But so that's the basics of it. That's really what I try to focus on. I also will change up how I eat to a degree. If I know that, you know, I'm going to be sitting all day in the stand, I'll pack my lunch and I'll eat a good breakfast. But I always love to carb load the night before. And what carb loading is, for those that don't know, is basically you're loading your system up with carbohydrates before a physically enduring event. And whether or not it's going to be physically enduring is, you know, that's depending on whether or not I shoot something, but, or the area that I'm hunting, for example. There are, you know, I still do travel to hunt. New York is not the only place that I hunt, but if right. there's areas here in New York where, you know, I can park my truck and walk a mile and be at the location that I want to be in my stand and ready to go. There's other times if I go up into the big woods up in the Adirondacks, you know, you're talking, in some cases, 6 to 8 miles. If you decide that you want to track a deer, you could put on way more than that a day. And so it really comes down to focusing on those things so that, you know, you kind of build yourself into an overall package. You're able to get out there and really start to pursue those things without running out of, you know, and condition yourself so that you're not running out of steam halfway through your hunt, or, you know, while you're dragging that deer back, you're not falling all over yourself. It's very beneficial in those areas for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of where I cut my teeth. I mean, I used to go upstate New York all the time when I was a kid with my dad. And, I mean, we got into some mountains, man. We haunted primarily like up by Binghamton and and for a number of years my dad, we used to go opening weekend, we used to go to like Deposit, which is a 2 mountainous, but you know, it gets steep and it gets pretty crazy. Like, you know, there's some that you might not have the elevation, but you have the elevation change.
Right.
Which is tough, man. Tough going up and downhill. And I remember, I mean, of course, I was a kid. It might look a little different to me now, but it's not easy. And if you kill a 230-pound deer, you know, 4 miles away from the truck back in that, and, you know, we didn't have the packs that we had then, you know, that we have now, you know, to,
right.
like, pack out a deer, you know, quarter them up. And nobody knew what the hell quartering was back then anyway. We dragged the damn deer out whole. You know,
that's right.
Because you didn't want to waste any meat, and it was, And that's all it was about. It was about meat. You know, if it had a rack on it, great.
Yep.
You know, nobody knew about inches. It was just, oh, it was a 6 point or 8 point or whatever, 3 point, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, people don't realize that I get it all the time here, and I don't really fall in line with it, but I hear people saying it all the time, especially being out west, you know, that it's not, there's no physicality to hunting on the East Coast or Midwest. And you know, there are places even in the flatlands in the Midwest, or you go to like Illinois or whatever, you kill a deer, he runs down into a creek bottom that's, you know, 100 foot drop, and it's straight down, and it's slippery leaves and whatever. It's just, again,
right.
You know, you shoot a 230-pound animal, whatever, it's not easy to get them out. So,
yeah.
You might not be doing the hiking and the stalking and whatnot. And a lot of guys back east, like you said, track a deer. You know, the Benoits and Hal Blood and those guys in the Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys, they wait for it to snow, and they cut tracks in the snow, and they follow deer tracks until they come up on a buck, and that's how they shoot them.
Yep.
It's not everybody's, you know, sitting on a food plot and throwing a tree stand and, you know, walking 100 yards from the truck and waiting for a deer to walk by.
Yep.
So,
those guys know more about a deer than anybody I've met.
I had Hal Blood on my podcast like 7 or 8 years ago, way back when I first started it.
Mm-hmm.
I had read his book. I forgot what it's called now. Something about tracking, but and you know, the time that these guys spent learning how deer move, learning how to read sign, and the woodsmanship involved,
mm-hmm.
You know, now they're not bow hunters,
right.
They're rifle hunters, but still, they pretty much get within bow range to shoot them. I mean, this is thick, big woods. You know, they're taking 60, 70-yard shots with a rifle, because you really can't do it with a bow. But it's just, it's pretty incredible. And I'm kind of glad we did this podcast, kind of shed a little light on that area. In that area hunting.
Right.
So.
And
hey,
you
man.
Know, the funny thing too is, you know, one thing, and I'm sure you've been down this road, is the hardest thing that I have to deal with is people will contact me and say, hey, you know, I like what you guys are doing, but what do you guys really know about, you know, physicality and hunting on the East Coast? And I'll tell them I'm from New York, and it's funny, you know, a lot of people that I talk to, most often more than not, have no idea that New York State has a mountain range. They think that it's basically a giant city with taxis and skyscrapers, the entire state.
Yep.
And I'll show them pictures. I'll be like, you know, one of my goals in New York State right now is I'm an aspiring 46er, and what that is we have 46 peaks in New York State that are over 4,000 feet.
Right.
And from, you know, now, some people out west might be saying, you know, I live at 4,000 feet. And it's like, yeah, but we're starting at 700. You know, we're starting our climb at 700. And some of these climbs you're doing in less than 3 miles. So that's really steep stuff. And then you're also, some of these climbs you have to walk 12 miles just to get to the base of the mountain before you start that hike. There is a lot of work to do. And hunting in those areas is impressive, to say the least. And that kind of ties into what you said earlier, where people will ask you that, you know, well, I don't need to be physically fit to hunt. And that's absolutely true. There's 100% truth in that statement. I mean, sometimes it comes down to mental strength. You know, I'll know people that are incredibly out of shape, but in their minds, they are strong, strong individuals, and they can go out and do more than some people that have been in the gym for years can do.
Absolutely.
And I don't want to take away from that. I guess what I'm trying to say is, it isn't about being in shape and focusing on your health and fitness and applying that to hunting isn't because you need to do it in order to hunt or be a successful hunter. it's about yourself. It's about doing it for you. You know, it's not turning around and saying being physically fit is going to help me kill a 200-inch deer or a 400-inch bull. You know,
it helps.
It helps, though. It helps, but it's not necessary. You know, and it's one of those things where I try to say it in that line of thought, is that it's about what you're doing for yourself, and you're already in a position to be going out there and getting the food that will provide you all the nutrition you need with your own hands, and then coming back home and focusing on putting that food into your body, and then going to the gym and making sure that you're physically fit and healthy. And when you apply all those things together, it's a really great lifestyle. You know, it hooked me instantly. And there's been people who I've brought into this that were just hunters or were just into fitness. And since the minute that they applied everything and brought it all together, they're on that same high now, more or less. You know, they're living that same lifestyle and they love it. So there's something there. You know, there's something about doing those things for yourself and also be doing something to make yourself a better person, you know, a better version of who it was that you were yesterday. Not better than anybody else, but just better than who you used to be. You know, just focusing on putting yourself in that position. And that's kind of the whole premise
well
of this
said.
Thing.
Well said. For sure. Well, man, I gotta say, I was it's refreshing talking to you. Nice to get a different perspective. I've been primarily a Western game hunter for a long time, but my roots are from where you're from, and I like to see that you guys back home are getting on board with the movement, and I applaud you for it. So where can our listeners find out more about you and Healthy Hunters?
Well, we have the Healthy Hunters social media. We also have our website. You can go to the Healthy Hunters website, which is at healthyhuntersonline.com. You can find us on social media just by typing in Healthy Hunters. We also are on Instagram. You can search for us the same way there. You can also look me up on my personal profile. And my girlfriend, Heather, who also is involved with this, she's one of the co-founders as well. You can look her up, Heather Ballack, on Facebook or Instagram, and follow her there as well. We have a good split of male and female personalities on our team to try to, you know, reach both people there.
Awesome. All right, man. Well, again, I want to thank you, and we'll be in touch for sure. I'm actually going to be in New York. I'm not going to be going upstate. I'm going to be out on Long Island, hunting on Long Island. I'll be there a bit of October.
Yeah.
I'm excited to get back. I didn't go last year, which is odd for me. It felt wrong, but I'll be there this year. I'm going to bring one of my traditional bows with me. Probably one of the ones that I've built. I'm going to try something different.
That's an accomplishment no matter where you go.
Yeah, it'd be fun, man. I hope so. I'm a little worried because I haven't had the time to practice like I normally do, and I'm just hoping my killer instincts come out when the time's right, I guess. So anyway, man, well, thanks for coming on, and I will speak with you soon. You have a good one.
Sounds good, John. You too. Thanks.